Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell. We're recording on a Tuesday morning to recap the Thunder's Monday night loss to the Detroit Pistons. Another really big loss for the Thunder, 132-108, to a Pistons team that is usually on the other side of those lopsided results. The Thunder has now lost three straight games by an average of 36 points, as they're missing guys like, obviously, Al Horford, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lu Dort, Darius Bazley, Mike Muscala. The list goes on and on. Sometimes unrecognizable lineups out there. And Barry, I think we're going to be talking about a lot of these results moving forward, I think.
Well, the Thunder is making up for lost time.
Yes.
We've worried about winning too much. They have discovered the secret to losing, and I'm not sure this has been adequately fleshed out in the annals of American athletic competition. If you get down like 25 points, it's much more difficult to win games than if you hang around. And last night was, of course, an abomination. Detroit stinks. And here's how bad Detroit is. I was watching this game two or three times, and the Thunder gets down 21 or 19, including late.
Bring that one. I got it right here.
Early in the fourth quarter, it becomes 106-84. I think Corey Joseph hit a runner or something. And there's probably, 8 minutes left. I still wasn't convinced the Thunder was going to lose. They're down 22, and they're playing a bunch of G-leaguers. We're using a bunch of G-leaguers, and I thought, they could still win this game. And finally, it got up to 23 with 6.5 minutes left, and I thought, well, they're probably going to hang on. But, they came back a bunch on Detroit two or three times when it looked like they were dead, and they sort of mounted a rally. But it's bad ball. Let's see. You had it. It was 49 and what's the last three margins of victory?
I think it's 36 on average.
36 on average.
Yeah. So 48, 37, and 32, I think.
Not good. But yeah. But that's by design. I mean, they've done a nice job, bringing in. I didn't think Justin Jackson. He wasn't as good as I thought he was after watching him for 50 games. He's a serviceable NBA player. Well, the Thunder took care of that. They just sent him down the road and brought in two G leaguers.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We should get that clarify that news a little bit. The Thunder did waive Justin Jackson on Monday morning. Jackson had made three starts for the Thunder, played in about 30 games. Was in and out of the rotation, mostly out after the All-Star break. I think he missed. He had five. Did not play, coaches' decisions. And Mark Daigneault, there was no secrets why Justin Jackson wasn't playing. I mean, he's old by Thunder standards. He's 26. He's on an expiring contract. His future in the NBA is not with the Thunder. So instead of playing, Justin Jackson, obviously those minutes go to guys like Poku and Josh Hall and, whoever else you want to throw out there. On the wing, they're still looking at Kenrich Williams more since he's on under contract for a couple more years. So Jackson was waived. I thought something was coming with the roster as far as someone getting waived. I did not know it was going to be Justin Jackson. And then in corresponding moves, they announced that they were signing Justin Robinson to a 10-day contract. And Justin Robinson was a 4-year player at Virginia Tech. He's a point guard. He played really well for the Delaware Blue Coats in the G League bubble. So he fills that roster spot. 10-day contracts are what they sound like, although you can't sign a player to more than two 10-day contracts in one season. If they do that, they'll need to be retained on a standard contract. And I just think it's a way that the Thunder is going to use these 10-day contracts as a chance to give guys a little bit of room to stick, see if they do anything, see if Justin Robinson has something. And then if he doesn't, maybe they bring in someone else on a 10-day contract. I think that's what you're going to see here.
I sort of like the addition of Robinson in a way, because he is a point guard, you know. The Thunder's played with only two point guards on the roster all year, SGA and Cale Maladon, and SGA out. They've just been piecemealing it. When
you want to throw Ty Jerome in there.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess that's sort of right. But can't hurt to see if he can be a third team point guard. I think the answer is no, but you might as well find out. So the other guy, Horde, didn't show me much.
So they added Jalen Horde on it. They had an open two-way spot after promoting Moses Brown to a full-time contract. That goes to Jalen Horde, who played – it's kind of funny. They've had back-to-back two-way guys who played with the Trailblazers last season. Jalen Horde played a few minutes with – Portland. Robinson actually played a few minutes with the Wizards, failed to mention that. But Horde is interesting just in the fact that, Barry, I know you're not huge on recruiting rankings, but he was a five-star prospect, top 30 guy in that class, and was a one-and-done at Wake Forest, went undrafted. And so teams are still trying to see if there's some potential there.
Yeah, still reading that. Blue and gold recruiting book from 2016, probably. But you know what? I applaud the Thunder. They're doing whatever they can to make up for lost time, getting falling down the standings. And, you know, this three-game stretch of non-competitiveness is going to get old real fast, but it's very effective. And we'll see it on display again tomorrow night. You know, if you lose by 24 to Detroit, I assume Cleveland can wax you as well. So it's Cleveland tomorrow night, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's the Cavaliers.
And two teams, you don't mind if they get hot and pass you in the stands.
No, you need to instill all the confidence you can in those guys. So it's clear what's going on, and you can't blame anybody. It's hard to – I wrote it down at one point when he put him in. Let's see. I had it right here. When I think it was 2:14. Is that what I wrote down? When 2:14, they go into the game for the first time. And they're playing with the two new guys are playing with Darius Miller, Ty Jerome, and Tony Bradley. And, Miller is sort of a good story because his knees are shot and he's still out there making shots for the Thunder, clearly a professional shooter. But Tony Bradley hadn't been very good at all. I'm stunned at how ineffective he is. Started games for the Sixers, for crying out loud. But, you know, Ty Jerome's actually been a pretty good player this year. I kept wondering, what's Ty Jerome thinking out there, you know? Playing with these guys, he's got to wonder if he's back in the G League. So, it's a stretch. You know, there's so many times, I don't know about you, St. Joe, but so many times this year I've heard from Thunder fans who email me or call me and say, I'm getting frustrated. I just don't know any of these guys. And I wanted to say, all you have to do is follow the team a little bit. And, you know, it's not hard to keep up with. Of course, you should know all these guys. Read the Oklahoma and you'll know all these guys. What's the Thunder pregame show? You'll know all these guys. But last night I got to thinking, you know what? I sort of feel for those people because I don't know all these guys.
I know. We're going to have to – the Oklahoman won't tell you too much quite yet about Justin Robinson and Jalen Horde, but hopefully we will.
Well, I mean, I had trouble even – you know, I chart every game play by play. I was having a hard time. Robinson, by the grace of God, is left-handed.
Yes.
So, you know, I can pick him out pretty good. You know, the one thing about having a team, you don't have to look at the numbers. When people tell me what somebody's number, I don't know what anybody's number is. What do I care? I know their face and their mannerisms. I'm having to read Thunder numbers just to know who these guys are. And it's very frustrating. I'll say that. So fans, I feel your pain.
Yeah. So, I mean, in all seriousness, hopefully we will have some stories coming up on Jalen Horde and Justin Robinson. Weren't able to talk to those guys post-game. Horde, the organization, is a little more familiar with just because he played with the Blue in the G League bubble. So they saw him. Robinson had no ties to the Thunder whatsoever. Did not play for them last year, obviously, and then did not play for them in the G League bubble. So we're like you guys and trying to figure more out about both of those guys. Hort played 22 minutes. Robinson played 24. Hort had 10.6 rebounds. Robinson had 9 points, a couple of assists. Alexei Pokuševski led the Thunder in scoring and in shots. He was 8 of 19, 19 points, 4 rebounds. He was 2 of 6 from 3. Barry, I guess I don't know how to talk about like Poku differently than we always do, because it's always more of like, oh, he seems to be getting more comfortable. He looks better than he did pre-G League bubble. But it was kind of like the same thing last night, I thought.
Yeah, he's looking better. And, you know, here's the thing to remember, though. 2 months ago, or when did he come back from the bubble? March 1st or something? Or I don't know, whenever.
Like March 11th, it was right after the All-Star break, yeah.
Okay, so a month ago, when we saw him play for the first game or two, and we said, you know, he looks a little better. That's different than us saying now, he looks a little better, because the bar was so low a month ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, before the All-Star break, before he went to the G League, it was really sort of it was almost like a moral victory if he made it up and down the court 2 times without falling down. You think, hey, look, Opoku didn't fall down on that trip. And he came back and was a little better. And you think he's a little better. Well, now like last night, he was a little better from what we've been seeing.
Yeah.
But what we've been seeing is a lot higher threshold than what we saw in January or December. So I think I'm more confident than ever in saying, the guy's going to be an NBA player.
Yeah, I am.
Now, star, probably not. Rotational player, who knows? But he's going to have an NBA career. He's not going to be a 37-game flame out. So, that's a good step right now.
His skill set is so unique in that he's so big. And, you know, he's going to he might always be a guy who turns it over a ton just with the high-risk passes that he takes. But he is still such a good passer and a good handler for his height that I think that will play, even if, you know, and the shooting has been better. I don't know if it'll ever be good from three, but he got to the mid-range. He had a couple nice hook shots, and that works quite well given his length. But I think the passing is what might separate him and, like, keep him in the league.
He clearly has a feel for the game.
Yeah.
He has good court vision. He has those things that you can't teach. Unteachable things. You can actually teach a guy to dribble better. If you work hard, you can shoot better. If you don't have court vision, you don't have court vision. So, you know, there's no classroom for that. There's no camp for that. There's no clinic for that. So he's got some intangibles you can't teach, and that's why he's a decent prospect.
What I think is interesting about him is, like, you know, in the G League bubble, he became this internet sensation because of the, you know, wraparound passes behind the back, over his head, everything like that. And I think the Thunder was sort of like guarding against that, hey, he's not just this player. And I asked Mark Daigneault about that after he came back from the bubble, like, how do you, when like that sort of flash is that big of a part of his game, like, how do you sort of balance that versus, you know, maybe taking a few lower risk passes? And he was like, well, the best passers in the world, the majority of their passes are simple passes. You're just like focusing on those high risk passes. But then Mark Daigneault, not talking about Poku, so I'm not tying it to that, but Daigneault, when he was talking about like cutting out some of the turnovers, he's like, sometimes we need to make the simple A to B passes. And like Poku hardly ever makes the simple A to B passes. And I'm just curious to see how like his passing evolves, if it always like looks that impressive, or sometimes if he just becomes a good passer, but it's like regular passes we're used to seeing. I think you're on mute, Barry.
I'm muted myself. Daigneault, surely, I mean, Daigneault's right. Poku does not make many. He seems disdainful of just He passed the ball 8 feet to you since nobody's on you. He doesn't really, he's not into that. He's always looking for something more spectacular. But that'll come. You got to believe that'll come.
Yeah.
And for one thing, I think Thunderville will drill it into his skull. But just pass the ball over to Ty Jerome. And he's going to get more comfortable passing or playing as a 7-footer on the wing against a bunch of 6'3 guys, you know, 6'5 guys. And he's going to find that dribbling on those guys is probably not the way to you know, put a bunch of hay in the barn. You know, pass it to Ty Jerome, take 6 feet in, and he might get you the ball back where you can just turn and shoot.
Yeah.
You know, if Corey Joseph is guarding you, who was the shortest guy they put him? Somebody who a couple weeks ago, somebody put a really short guy on him. Was it?
Well, they I can't remember. Trey Young guarded him. And
yeah, Trey Young's a good example. Let me tell you what, if Trey Young's guarding you, you can get all the 14-foot open shots you want. And frankly, for Poku and the Thunder, that's a good shot right now. Maybe the analytics crowd don't like it, but the analytic crowd does not watch the Thunder night after night after night. So, but no, I think he's going to be good in terms of progressing. How far that gets, who knows? Don't have any idea.
Svi Mykhailiuk also had a pretty good night, and against his former team, he had 17 points, 5 of 10. Yes, sir.
You're talking about Hamidou Diallo, and I wanted to ask you a question. You're fairly new to the NBA beat. This is your second year on the beat, but you've been following the Thunder, you know, basically since they got here. You grew up in Oklahoma City. You had a line in your takeaways today that stunned me. Hamidou Diallo was traded 3 weeks ago. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. It seems like 3 months ago. I mean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like forever since Hamidou Diallo was a Thunder?
Yeah.
Now, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean this season is insufferably long feeling and we just can't get to the end of it? Or is it just absence? Think, you know, you so your mind works where if somebody's not here, you just what is that all about? When you said, like Mikalik, it seems like I've been watching him play my whole life and he's been here 3 weeks. What's that all about? Tell me the explain the psychological reasons for that phenomenon.
I don't think I'm qualified to explain that, but I don't know. I think it's so much has happened since then with so much roster movement. Also, like, that was not quite a trade deadline trade. It happened like a week before the trade deadline. So maybe that, you know, we're viewing the trade deadline as this big event. It didn't happen then. It actually happened before, but not as long before as we thought it did. The other thing is Diallo did miss like the last week that he was with the Thunder because of a groin injury. So it had been a little longer that we had actually seen him play, even though he was still on the roster. So that's my best guess.
That's not a bad guess, for crying out loud. It looked to me like he wasn't hell-bent on showing the Thunder, but there was a little bit of that to him last night, I thought.
Yeah.
He
got matched up against Svi a few times, and I thought, oh, man, I bet Diallo just wants to dunk it all over the Thunder right now.
No, I didn't see – I didn't detect Svi playing any different because he's always aggressive.
Yeah.
And he's always looking to drive or looking to shoot or looking to
as something. As Isaiah Roby said, he's not bashful.
That's a good way of saying it. That's a good way of saying it. So, but this isn't going to make any sense, but I think Diallo will probably end up being a better player in the NBA in terms of value to a good team. But it looks to me like right now, Svi's a better player than Hamidou Diallo. He can do more things, unless I haven't studied Svi's defense. So Diallo wasn't a bad defender, fouled too much at times, but he was a decent defender, and we saw him in some, you know, critical situations last season.
Yeah, I think with where the game is going, you certainly can't have enough shooters and like see his numbers are down this year, but he's a much better shooter. I mean, Diallo is probably never going to develop into an even average 3-point shooter, but talked about this a ton. He's most times the most athletic guy on the court. His just end to end speed is so quick. It's so hard to get in front of him. And if he wants to get in the rim, he showed that he's quite good at that. And he's like been spectacular since he's arrived in Detroit. It's only been a handful of games for him because he was slowed by that same groin injury. But I don't know. You know, when we talked about the trade, when it happened, the Thunder obviously did it because Diallo was entering restricted free agency, just like C is, but the Thunder got the extra pick out of it, knowing that they probably weren't going to match whatever offer Diallo got. But they didn't do that to, like, lose more games. I don't think, like, the difference between Diallo and C, like you just said, like, it doesn't help the tank. Is what I'm saying. I don't think the Thunder would be way better right now if or winning more games if Diallo were still on the floor. But no. Probably could not.
You're right.
Two different.
It's virtual.
They're hard to compare those two players.
Right, but they're easy enough to compare that it's not a major difference.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not the difference between Horde and Kenrich Williams. I mean, those guys for 11 seconds and say, well, this one dude's way better than this guy. So. It's an interesting time.
Diallo wants. I assume Detroit wants to keep Diallo, right?
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. It sounds like it. You know, Detroit's got some issues of its own. It's got those three first round draft picks, and
I swear it's like half their team was a first round pick in like the 2020 draft. You had Killian Hayes, you had Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey. Yeah. I think I'm missing one, but they had all Saben Lee. They had like four 2020 draft picks out there.
Yeah. So Lee was a draft pick last year. He was a second round pick. I just knew I think he's on a 2-way contract, I think, but he's the one dude. I felt a little bad for this reason. At one point, I was watching a basketball game last night, an NBA game, including my local team. And I'm supposed to follow it. I'm supposed to keep up with it. I'm supposed to know stuff about the opponents as well. And there were four guys on the court at one time who I literally had never heard of until Monday. Yesterday was the first time I'd ever heard of, Cook. Who's this Cook character?
Yeah,
heard of Cook.
He's been
for Detroit.
Been a journeyman in his
a journeyman, and then Lee. I don't never heard of Lee, or if I did, I'd forgotten it. And then the two guys from the Thunder, they signed literally 40% of the players on the court I'd never heard of, and that would happen to me if I was watching an NBA game like in 1972, and I would get to see like four a year. I felt very inadequate and bad at my job, but then I thought, well,
the more anonymous teams in the NBA right now,
nobody else knows these guys either. So I felt okay about it. So,
if Charles Barkley did the who he played for segment last night, I think he might've gotten very few players, right. As far as like who any of these guys actually play for. Anything we talked about Diallo, Maladon had 14 points, Ty Jerome, 10 off the bench, not much else. Anything else stick out? Well, let me ask you this, like Killian Hayes, he's been interesting because some people loved that pick that Detroit made. I think I'm pulling it up here. I think he went 7th overall. Yeah, he's the 7th overall pick. You see, he played much better last night than he's been playing. But anything stand out about those, like, Detroit rookies, Stewart, Hayes, any of the others?
I thought that Isaiah Stewart was better than I sort of had been led to believe or thought.
Yeah, he's tough in there.
He was pretty active. I liked that. I did not know that Corey Joseph – was playing for the Detroit Pistons. I have to admit that. You could have got me Barkley'd on that one.
I think he was in that DeLon Wright trade from Detroit to Sacramento.
Oh, okay. I got you. Our good friend Frank Jackson, who you covered extensively in an exhibition game or two when he was a Thunder back in November or December.
He hit some shots.
He's 4 out of 7 shooting. He always seems to make shots. Seems like somebody might want to use a guy like
that. Thunder knew what they had in Frank Jackson. They were like, we don't want this guy.
it's the Thunder's eternal quest for a Jackson who can help them lose.
And we talked about this with our colleague Jenny Carlson, but we cannot get all the Jacksons straight because she was joking about not remembering if the Thunder had Justin, Frank, or Josh, and they had Justin, of course, and then Frank in the preseason. And then we see Frank with the Pistons, and they also have Josh Jackson, and all three of them went to the Blue Bloods in North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas. So that was funny, I thought.
Yeah, it's very funny. And that's one. Let's see, they went to North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas. When's Kentucky? Does Kentucky have a Jackson? Get Kentucky a Jackson, please, please. And, of course, we've gone this far without talking about our old pal, Jeremy Grant. You think he's happy?
I don't know. I mean,
he clearly made the decision.
You know, from all the reporting, Denver offered him the same contract.
Right. It sounds like Jeremy Grant wanted to go someplace where he was going to be the primary scoring option. And he clearly is. He's averaging like 23 points a game or 24 points a game. And this is a guy that played, you know, alongside Westbrook and Carmelo and against Portland and Utah, high level playoff games.
Well, and alongside
and then goes to
and Murray and.
Yeah, and then goes to Denver and does the same. Indispensable in Denver. They loved him to death. But he wanted to be the main guy. Heck, and for all I know, you know, he may lead the NBA in scoring next year and become a superstar. And if he is, you know, you can't blame him for that. But it sure looks like a meager future in Detroit.
The weird thing about that move, and, you know, I have no idea. I mean, his motivations clearly were to be the guy, and props to him because, like, he had a lot of doubters that he could be the guy, and he's totally proven that he can be because he's been playing great basketball in Detroit. But the strange thing is they have all of those first-round picks. They're going to pick high again. They're building around this young core. And then, you know, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Thunder's star, is still 22. Grant is 27. So he doesn't really, like, fit with that timetable. So I'm not sure kind of what their long-term plans might be there and, like, what that's going to look like. That's the only interesting thing for me is how they sort of balance him being the star when they're also trying to develop these young guys.
Yeah, it's a difficult assignment. Troy Weaver, of course, Sam Presti's longtime lieutenant, is running the Pistons now. They've been irrelevant for quite a while. They tried to go trade for a superstar route. Blake Griffin, that got them nowhere. Now they're trying to develop a superstar, Jeremy Grant.
The ramifications of that move, by the way, like you wouldn't see Denver trading for Aaron Gordon had that not happened. Like Denver realized, hey, JaMychal Green, Paul Millsap, like not quite getting the job done. We missed Jeremy Grant quite a bit. We're going to have to trade for Aaron Gordon. That helps the Magic blow everything up and do their rebuild. So, you know, you can definitely trace that signing. The Jeremy Grant signing in Detroit had so many ramifications at the trade deadline, which is like kind of funny to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was thinking last night, of course, the Thunder traded Grant in summer of 2019 to Denver for a first-round draft pick. That's the first-round pick that basically became Poku, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder was going to pick, I think it was a 24 or 25, and the Thunder was able to trade up a little.
Yeah, they traded up with Minnesota.
And get Poku at 17 or 18.
Yeah.
So basically it was a Poku for Grant trade, which is, you know, on the surface absurd. But you realize you probably weren't going to be able to re-sign Grant. And that's clearly the case now. To me, that trade is more than ever justified, because it was clear Grant was interested in going someplace where he could shoot 15, 20 times a game. And that wasn't going to happen on last season's Thunder team. And, you know, now, if he'd have known there was going to be a total teardown, maybe he could be 24-point a game guy for this Thunder team. I don't know. But he didn't really probably see it through that much, and neither did we. So
I only obviously watched Grant. You covered him. Did you ever see anything like this coming from him? Like,
no.
Did you think
no.
he could develop like
no.
this?
I never thought of Jeremy Grant as a primary scoring option. I thought he was a wonderful player. A guy who could do a lot of things. A guy who turned himself into a decent three-point shooter. A guy that could guard multiple positions. A guy that got out and ran. A guy that never said a word, never caused a problem. I was a big Jeremy Grant fan. But I never saw him as the ace scoring option on any team, much less 24, 25 points a game. So I did not see it. It just goes to show you, though, that there's nothing against Jeremy Grant. All kinds of people can score big if you in the NBA if you just give them the opportunity. You know, trying to think of somebody on this team that might well, Sfee's a good example of that. You know,
especially when you're not around a lot of other high-level guys.
Right, like, right. Somebody's got to take the shots.
See Poku scoring 20 points on any other team, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, somebody's got to take the shots. There's a shot clock out there, and the games are long, sometimes insufferably long. Somebody's got to throw the ball up at the basket, and sometimes it goes in. Yeah. And that's the story. Now, Jeremy Grant's clearly skilled. He can do a lot of things. I'm proud for him. I hope he has a great career. But let's not pretend that he's, you know, he's not Paul George mm-hmm. or somebody. I don't.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we will be back with you on Wednesday night.